On today's episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast, we sit down on location with Ian Ross of Ken Ross Gold Corporation, and I really hope that you enjoy this when we talk all about operationalizing human and organizational performance. Here we go. Welcome to another episode of the Hop Nerd Podcast. I am your host, Sam Goodman, the Hop Nerd LLC. Make sure you head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com, for fundamentals, learning teams, support, and so much more. Send us an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, and be sure to follow along with us on all things social media at The Hop Nerd or at Sam Goodman. Welcome to today's episode. Welcome, welcome, welcome. Hello, howdy, everybody. Sam Goodman of the Hop Nerd LLC and the Hop Nerd Podcast. I'm sitting here stuffing my face. I am. I'm sitting here staring at food while I record this podcast because I have to get these in when I can, and especially when they're as important as episodes such as this. And so I just got back from Paracatu, Brazil, and we had an amazing time with Kinross Gold at a location at their mine in Brazil. And it was phenomenal. Great, great sessions around hop and operational learning teams. And it was just a great week spent down there with some amazing people doing some amazing work and eating far too much amazing food, like absolutely amazing food. But enough of that. I'm not going to try to go down that rabbit hole too much because I'll talk to you for an hour about it. I want to let you know that this episode is amazing because we did it on location, which is something that we don't do very often. We did it with an amazing person, Ian Ross. If you're not following Ian, you should be. And you'll see why after you listen in to a bit of this conversation. And we talked all about operationalizing human and organizational performance, the really key things, and how Kinross has been so wildly, and I mean that, wildly successful on this journey. Just amazing work that they have done over the past couple of years. Now, I will tell you that this was live and on location, and we were using our handy-dandy handheld recorder, and the sound got a little wonky. I've tried my best. I'm not an audio engineer. I am a hop nerd, but I've tried my best. So if it sounds a little weird, I apologize. If you have to crank it up a little bit to get it to sound just right, still listen through it. I think you'll find so much value in this conversation. And the piece, I'm going to tell you right now, the piece that has been my favorite of it is this, and you'll find it. So listen for it. I don't know. Go ask the sites. And you'll find it. So here we go. I'm going to shut up. Enjoy. If you need any help with human and organizational performance, send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com, or head over to the website, www.thehopnerd.com. Make sure you follow along on all the social media stuff. That's it. Here we go. Let's listen in. Live and on location. Well, on location, not live, but on location from Brazil with Ian Ross, talking hop and how we operationalize hop within our work worlds. So welcome.
Yep.
Welcome to the podcast. We're on location, which is kind of rare for me these days. I don't do this too often, but we're here and we're in Brazil. And do you want to go ahead and introduce yourself a little bit, Ian, and let people know who you are, what you do, a little bit of your background?
Yeah, no, thanks. I'm Ian Ross. I'm currently the Vice President for Global Health and Safety at Kinross Gold. I'm currently based in Toronto, but as you know, get to travel about. Lucky to travel to our assets around the US, North America, Africa, Tasius, where you've just been, Mauritania, wonderful place, wonderful people, Chile, and of course here now in Brazil, where we're enjoying great pizza, great cheese balls, and all that really unhealthy food.
Well, I keep telling Elise that it's, my goal has been to lose weight, not gain weight. And it seems like the more that I spend time with you guys, I think I'm gaining weight more than I'm losing weight. So we're here and we're talking about human and organizational performance.
We've been doing some HOP and operational learning teams introduction sessions. As we're talking, Teresa Swinton right now is doing a facilitator train the trainer course right across the hallway from us. So they might try to bust in. I think we locked the door though. So
yeah, no, we've locked the door and we've kept the key.
if anybody hears any pounding on the wall, you can probably blame Teresa for that, or maybe at least somebody. But we're here, and you guys are on your HOP journey. Right. You guys have been on this HOP journey for a little bit of time now. And I think before we start, we had discussed this to clue everybody in beforehand. What would be the most valuable things, I think, to talk about being on the HOP journey? And the first one that comes to mind is the why, right? And getting to know Kinross and the limited experience that I have and Googling right before we got to spend time together, and you guys are a good company. You do amazing work. You do amazing things. What's the why? What prompted you to go down this path?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And you know, we often when you go on these types of journeys, it's usually driven by the fact that you have poor performance. You have high incident rates and fatalities and various things. So it may to some seem a little bit unusual that we were already a good company.
Yeah.
We had, you know, we were top quintile with our peers in terms of our, you know, TRIF severity rate and all of those lagging indicators.
Yeah.
And we were, you know, pretty proactive in some of the things we were doing. But we had some change in our senior leadership. We now have a new chief operating officer in Claude Chimber, who is super passionate about you know, health and safety and you know, safety excellence and operational excellence as a whole. And you know, I've worked for Claude for the past 6.5 years, and we're really passionate about doing things a little bit different. Claude's, you know, he's a real maverick. He really shakes a jelly and tries to do something, you know, a little bit different and challenge people to stretch. And you know, we said, look, you know, we're good. And we could either have the strategy of saying, you know, let's just hold and let's, you know, ride it out. We're a good company, you know, pretty proud, you know, seems to be a lot of pride in what we're doing. Or we can really stretch and become a great company. You know, we can go from that good to great. And because we also thought that, you know, we can remain good, but, you know, today's good is probably tomorrow's average.
Yeah.
There's a lot more, you know, requirements and demands being placed on organizations.
Yeah.
So we thought, let's get ahead of that. We also wanted to really move towards a very people-centric type of approach. You know, Claude's a very people person. You know, we believe that, you know, we look after our people, look at our business, and you know, really about building that capacity. So for us, it was, you know, let's go from this, you know, this good company, respectable company, and let's try to do something, you know, a little bit special through that, you know, engagement with our sites and, you know, our employees, as well as our, you know, business partners, and how we sort of co-design it. You know, we have this sort of core belief, we, you know, better people create better futures, we want everyone to try and be, you know, the best, you know, version of themselves. So it was really going from good to great.
Yeah, that's amazing to hear. It truly is. I think that leads me to a bit of my next question, is that climate internal to the organization, because with many companies we're at good and we hold, right? We want to kind of hold on to that good thing. It seems like you guys had a bit of the right time, right place. That makes sense to take that leap from good to great. How much do you think that played into your journey so far? This kind of leadership desire to go from good to great, to kind of grow this room for innovation within your business, to create that environment where your people can take care of your business, and not only take care of it, but innovate within your business. What did that climate look like for you guys, that desire to move towards something maybe a bit different, maybe feeling a little bit scary, right, when we're talking about maybe changing things a little bit?
Yeah, I mean, it's when you're doing well, people think you're doing well, then you generally don't have a very strong case for change.
Yeah.
And, you know, change is really difficult.
Right.
It's hard. It's tough. And so, you know, do you want to pick any hill? It was a case of, look, we don't really need to pick a hill here to fight and die on. Right. You know, we're pretty good on the flat. We're doing well. Let's just go with it. But that's not what, you know, Claude's about as our CEO. That's not our CEO. And it's not what Paul, our CEO, is about. It's really about, you know, and I think that's the beauty of Kinross and its people. We're always striving to try and be, you know, we compete with ourselves. We don't really compete with others. We just believe we can, you know, let's try to be as good as we can be, try the best we can be. But, you know, realistically, not everybody's always in that place. It's some people get quite comfortable saying, you know, look, why do we really need to go through all of this pain and effort? But there was a real desire to do that, first of all, from you know, our CEO, the SLT. And if you don't have that, then, you know, probably don't even start going on the journey. You know, that's right. The first tick in the box. Yeah. Is the desire there at the leadership to really, you know, when you know, the shit hits the fan and things get tough, to stick with this process and to have the courage to, you know, to change? And we had that. So that was, you know, for us, that was a catalyst. We can do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, then, of course, we dive down to, you know, the pointy end of the stick, you know, at the front line and the teams on site, as you know, about, okay, now, what does this look like? What does that future for us, for you, look like?
Making it work in real life.
Yeah,
at
absolutely.
That point, right?
Yeah. Reality.
Yeah. So that's such a good piece of advice to share. And I'll kind of summarize this in my little bit of hillbilly dialect. I'm saying, if you're not good, get good at being good first. Right. Yeah, but absolutely. you guys on your journey, you realize that you're already really good at good. And in our volatile and uncertain world and industries, a lot of times good is good, but good might not cut it tomorrow. Right. So I think that's a really powerful thing for people to take away from that conversation. Something that really interests me, and I'm going to ask you to share a little bit of it, is that initial conversation that you had with your senior leadership team and your slide, your transformation slide. It's such a powerful conversation because you hinted at it there for just a minute, this idea of when it gets strange, when it gets weird, when we take a couple steps back and then a few steps forward, and it's that long slog through the mud, because it's going to be, we're in the trenches doing this stuff, stick with it. Tell folks out there a little bit about that conversation.
So there's a sort of a fundamental sort of philosophy or principle that you know, we were working on this at, and it's always a rule I've followed. You know, what it's what interests the boss fascinates me. So, you know, if you're going to go, you want your boss to be, you know, fascinated about something, you've got to get his boss interested and their boss interested, and so on. So we wanted to engage with the board, and we were committed to going on this journey, but, you know, you really need the support of the executives and the board to, you know, to really, you know, make this happen and bring it to life. So we had our first sort of contact with the board, and we used one slide, and that slide was a butterfly, and it was a story of the butterfly, because, you know, we talk about we want our butterfly moment, and, you know, it helped us to express very, you know, graphically that, you know, change is really difficult. Like the transformation of butter, it's difficult, it's tough, you know, it's rough. But if you persevere, you have patience, and you really believe, you know, that the outcome of that, the results of that, can be truly amazing, just like the transformation of the butterfly.
Yeah.
And that was really powerful for the board. But what they're used to getting is a, you know, whole slide pack of, you know, he's our case for change, he's a whole load of text. Mm-hmm. And instead they got one slide.
Here's a lot of numbers on the side too, right?
And we said, so, you know, why are we doing this? Is because we want to go on this journey. We need you to be with us. But we're going to come back to you sometime pretty, you know, soon, and tell you that, you know, things are not looking so good. Because we knew it was going to get worse, God. Gets better.
Yeah.
Certainly on our, you know, things like we had historically very low injury rates and severity rates. And you know, there's a lot of reasons for that.
Sure.
And beliefs and assumptions. But, you know, we said, look, we're really going out there to work on building some of the foundations, which for us is trust.
Yeah.
You know, trust, psychological safety, those things. Engaging with our business partners, really creating that safe environment for them to speak up, to come forward, to identify their pain points and issues. And with that comes more reporting.
Right.
And, you know, the upside or downside, it depends if we look at it, view it as an upside.
Exactly. Yeah.
It's a positive indicator that, you know, our reporting culture is strengthening.
Yes.
And, you know, if we don't know those secrets, we're never going to be able to address them.
Yeah.
So, sure enough, the first quarter and next quarter when we went back, our total recordable injury frequency rate and our severity rate had doubled, and it'd never been at that height historically for many years. And I won't say everybody was totally enamored with that and happy with that. You know, there's some uncomfortable moments because these are also linked to, you know, scorecards and, you know, compensation and various other things. So it was a little bit uncomfortable. But the fact that we'd been to the board and we'd spoke about this, so we'd set their expectations were really calibrated for them.
Yeah.
They understood what that was telling them. So you can get a story, but you can receive it and view it one way or the other. And the board were very, very positive because we told them to expect this. And we said, look, this is, you know, this is what we said. It might even get rougher. They might double again, but stick with us, you know. And so we could always go back to that reference slide, you know, stick with us. Yeah. Let's get to our butterfly moment.
Yeah. We told you this was going to be hard.
Yeah.
Right.
and sure enough, fortunately, over this past, you know, 12 months, we've seen them without concentrating on them organically go down. But it's irrelevant. We don't look at them, we don't talk about them, we focus on you know, the things we need to do, which is really important.
That's amazing. And that's one piece, and that's kind of where I want to kind of go next, because we talked about being good at good, right? And a piece of this that really interests me, because you guys are in such an incredible position, and spending time with you and spending time on some of your locations, and looking forward to spending time at more, but we see this effort that was put into the groundwork, right? That conversation being a piece of that groundwork, but this little piece by piece by piece, where you guys have really put a lot of effort into the basics, into the groundwork, to where when we get to this point of where we're having these conversations about operationalizing these concepts, really bringing them to life on site, we're not encountering those normal stumbling points that we so often see where that groundwork hasn't been properly laid. Beyond that slide, what are some of the things that you guys have done internally that's prior to us getting to this point that have really, in your thoughts, have really led to that level of success that you've seen over this past year or so?
So I think without a doubt, you have to start there at the top. Even if it's it's a short engagement, you have to confirm, you know, we had to really confirm, we've got a commitment to go on this journey and you're going to stick with us through the process and believe the end result is worth the pain that we're going to go through. It's going to be hard. We had that. Once we had that, we could dive back down and get to the front line. You know, it was very much, you know, last year, 2023, you know, I'm Toronto based, but 82% of my time was overseas. And because I realized, you know, as you know, it's about face-to-face.
Yeah.
You know, I can, Teams and virtual is okay for certain things, but we're talking about building trust. We realized very early what we had to do was we had to build really solid trust and respect at the assets, so people were confident, you know, information wouldn't be weaponized,
right?
And all of those things that you have,
they know you, they've seen you, they know who you are,
And you know, the old Dutch proverb, you know, trust arrives on foot and leaves on horseback, and it's so true. So, 2023, we set a real, you know, our goal was build trust so that when we say we're going to do something, our assets believe that we support them. Also, when things go wrong, they know we're going to respond in a way that's going to keep that trust solid. And so we you know, spent traveling around, myself, the team, engaging, really getting out the message that there is a commitment from the top, and we're here, we've got your back. You know, we're not weaponizing information. You know, we're there. It's very much servant leadership. We're here to serve you. What does the future, a better future, look like for you? And we will help you deliver it. So the message is very difficult, very different. And what really helped us engage was we start the engagement with going to, you know, some of our general managers we knew, some were long-term. So we have a very a mix of legacy assets, and with that comes a lot of different subcultures and processes and practices. And we realized also very early on, we don't want to do standardization. You'll never do that. If you do that, you flatten out. You know, you try to flatten out that blue line to the black line, you lose all of the cultural nuances and the creativity and innovation, that diversity that comes with that. So we didn't. We very much went to the assets, really shaped what does a better future look like. You know, we all got around that and realized, yes, we want that. Yeah. So then we got the commitment at that, you know, certainly the site leadership, the health and safety function, the line supervision at the assets, and sort of built that sort of like coalition and critical mass.
Yeah, yeah.
And then started to craft, what does that look like to us? And what is this, you know, the strategy and our priorities? You know, so we came up with what we call a health and safety blueprint, which has all of these components in, and you know, the why and the many things. And that was for us was really powerful because we worked from the bottom up then.
Yeah.
And then
yeah.
the next time we were engaging at the executive level, we had our GMs talking about it. It wasn't the safety department. Our GMs were saying, hey, this is what we do. We're in, we're bought in. This is what we want to do. This is the way to go. And that's really powerful for the, you know, for the executive, the senior leadership team and the board to hear that from our general managers coming from the assets. And that really solidified it. So we had top, bottom, and now it's just about filling in the middle.
Squeeze.
Yeah, which we're doing now with some of that, you know, taking some of that new, the new philosophy, what we've exposed them to in 2023, and now really starting to try to operationalize that, and it's where the frontline supervision, the middle management are also very important. And we're starting to, as you know, you probably evidence, we're starting to sort of close that gap.
And
that's been a successful approach for us. It, you know, it may not work for others, but for us, it's, I would say, you know, and I think you probably in a better position to see it coming and looking at what you witness, whether we're being successful or not. It's very difficult to gauge yourself.
I think there's a couple things there that really stand out to me, right? And obviously that piece that we talked about with the butterfly moment and that conversation with your senior leadership team. But there's something that you mentioned there around standardization that I think is really important as well. This idea of going out and spending time at your various locations, not seeking to standardize, but to understand that location's personality, who they are, how they do business, all those unique things that make them special, cool, and unique, right? And I'm sure that you walked away from that with such a massive understanding, right? This new, unique set of information, probably, that then, as you said, it allowed you to inform what that blueprint looked like. Rather than trying to go and do that blueprint to your sites, the sites, their voice shines through in what that blueprint looks like. So then as you carry that information back to the senior leadership team, back to the board, you're really, as you said, those GMs sharing that information, they're really telling that story. You're building that relationship. Right. And even back to your point on this kind of FaceTime thing, spending time at locations when things go wrong, as the GM or anyone else on the site, I know I can call Ian. I know Ian. Those things are really, really important. Yeah. Little small pieces that feel small, but are pretty, pretty massive to your journey. And then from that, right, you've got this blueprint and you've also built your internal guiding principles, right, as a piece of that, which I find amazing, right? Because of course we have this conversation from the perspective of the reimagined HOP principles, or you know, HP principles grown into the HOP principles that we obviously cite back to Todd Conklin. But to see you guys take those and make them special and unique for your own organization, to make those Kinross, I think is a really powerful piece of that as well. So I've got to tell you, as the way that you kind of lay that out, and I've shared this with you off pod, so I'm going to say it here because I think it's really important. The thing that's really stood out to me is that many organizations that we spend time within, myself and Teresa, we have these sessions, and they're great sessions, right? We talk HOP fundamentals, we talk operational learning teams, we do train the trainer facilitator, all that kind of stuff. But then always at some point in the Q&A or in a sidebar conversation, there's always a few of those folks that pull you to the side and say, I love this, I've been saying this for years, but have you told our senior leader, have you taught this to our senior leader? Do they get this? Are you sure you're allowed to be here? Like some of that conversation. Out of all the sessions that we've done so far, I've not heard the slightest peep of that, not even the slightest indication that your people are not supported in this journey. I've not heard that at all, which stands out to me as just a testament to the amount of effort you've put into that groundwork and to the amount of felt commitment that these people have received from up in your, they know that this is the direction that we're going in, that your senior leadership team has bought in, that we're going, and they know that they're supported. So I think that if you ask for my opinion on where you're at, I think that says it all right there. And they're excited and they're curious and they're ready to bring it to life, which is, again, just a testament to the amount of effort that's been put into on the front end of that.
No, I appreciate it. It's great to hear. It'd be great for the teams to hear, because you know we have really great GMs.
Yeah,
with our sites, and you've met some of them. You're meeting more, and I mean, you know, I don't just say that. You know, I'm not blowing smoke there. There's a really like strong bond between all GMs and myself and them, where we you know, we can talk like friends, and it's super helpful. We short circuit a lot of bureaucracy. You know, we get stuff done very quickly, you know, and we trade off very, very easily. And that's been a huge part. You can never underestimate having that commitment, having that leadership is so important. And to hear, you know, when you're saying that to me, that's, you know, for us, it's really great to hear, you know, it's quite emotional, because we really want to get to a place where we're hearing that from the front line, from our employees, because, you know, the employees have got, you know, really well-tuned, that's a bullshit detectors.
Yeah, of course.
So they know when you're not being authentic, you know, disingenuous. So, you know, they're not shy to speak up, and you know you've been the tazziest out there. Yeah. They're not shy to speak up.
Not
speak
at all.
So the fact that, you know, they're talking so positively is huge, and I know that Claude will be really happy to hear it. The GMs will be happy to hear it, because it's their work, their effort, their leadership that's really made this possible. I always say, like, my role is, I think I've got the easiest role, because I'm just like a facilitator. You know, and I couldn't facilitate anything without that leadership commitment and without that buy-in from the site.
Right.
So my level of influence on that is always limited.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I'm fortunate to work in an organization like Kinross, where Kinross is defined by its people. You know, I've worked 6.5 years. I only ever intended to be here 6.5 years, and I would stay another 6.5 years, because it's the people that make Kinross. And I think, because, you know, we've really emphasized having a people-centric philosophy, it's really resonated with our people.
Yeah.
But, you know, you can say that, but over this past year, you know, they've watched.
Yeah.
And, you know, I remember the first engagements at the site and saying, look, this is the philosophy. This is what we're going to do. This is our commitment to you.
Yeah.
We set expectations really high. And we knew that, you know, a lot of the time, you know, we would say, we'll come back, tell me in 6 months, tell me in 12 months.
Yeah.
And every time we've went back, we've got a real positive, you know, feedback to say, hey, you know, you're giving us what we need. We're getting the support we want. You know, we deliberately, as like the leadership team, you know, we talked and said, look, when the next bad incident happens, not if, when, it's going to happen.
Yeah.
Instead of let's looking at it as a, you know, it's a negative event. There's things that come from it, but let's take it as an opportunity, as a real opportunity for us as a leadership team as a whole, to really demonstrate to the organization how we respond to that situation can make or break our culture, can make or break this journey we're on.
Yeah.
And we did. We had a, you know, pretty a bad event, but the organization's response to that was fantastic.
Yeah.
And that sent out such a powerful message. People didn't expect that.
Yeah.
And then it happened, and we'd been saying it was going to happen. And then when it happened, it's like, oh, okay, you know,
they mean it.
We started to believe it. Yeah, you mean it. Maybe it's not BS. We just built on that. We looked at some, you know, what are some of the quick wins we can do that can just convince them that, you know, there's trust, there's respect.
Right.
And we were very sort of strategic and tactical on that.
Yeah.
And we've only been going at it for 12 months.
Yeah.
So I think, you know, we look back in 2023 and it was a whirlwind. But our goal was build trust.
Yeah.
We had one goal, build trust. We look back, We surveyed, we talked to the teams, and we think we've done pretty well in 2023.
Yeah.
But every year is the next step on that journey, mm-hmm. and we're under no illusions that it can go back, it can go under, we can, you know, things are going to happen. We're going to get punched in the face now and then.
Yeah.
But if we have that commitment to ride that storm out, that's, so it's like, you know, we build a house, we built the roof first.
Yeah.
So that everybody then could work on the foundations without, you know, the thunderstorm coming down on them and give them time to build that house strong. Yeah. And that's what that was the approach we've took. It's quite simplistic. There's a more complexity to that.
Yeah,
but really, we're just dealing with people.
Mm-hmm.
And most of us are pretty simple in our needs.
Yeah, and most of us are people, right?
Yeah, most of us are people.
No, I love that. So it's breathtaking to see how much you guys have done. Right. It truly is. I genuinely mean that, to walk into an organization that to have not had any experience with you guys before, to then walk into Tazius. Right. And as I've shared with you, we had some preconceived notions, just even to the travel. Right. We're going where? Right. Where? How's this going to be? And then Teresa and I are on the side going, I don't know how this is going to. Let's see. To get there, to experience your people, and then to now be here in Brazil, and it's you can feel it. It's in the air, right? You can feel it. The curiosity, the type of questions that we receive, this excitement that you see in the faces of everyone that we interact with. Again, just a testament to where you're at. And I think that, you know, hearing the story of the groundwork, hearing the story of spending time and building relationships and this hyper focus on trust, it's paying dividends for you, right? It truly is. This idea of figuring out, we know kind of where we're at now, and this is the vision of where we want to go. That's a piece that a lot of folks that we spend time with, they know where they're at. They know they want to go somewhere, but they don't know what that future state looks like. How much of that played into your kind of thought with that blueprint, that imagined future state of what do we want Kinross to look like, feel like? What do we want the employee experience to be 10, 15, 20 years from now?
Yeah, I mean, it's very important to understand what great looks like to our, you know, our employees. And for some, it's different. Mm-hmm. But you know, we try to generalize on, okay, what does it look like for us as people? What does it look like for how we communicate, how we respect each other, those types of things. And we, you know, it's the old, let's jump in. If we could jump in a time machine and go 15, 20 years into the future and we come back, tell me how you would explain what that looked like and felt like to me. And we had some exercises around that, and we crafted some of that in terms of, you know, graphics and text and, you know, how it would look and feel to our employees. And then we sort of, you know, crafted that into a blueprint. But it's very much co-designed, and you have to also empower them by, you know, giving them a veto on things. And as you'll have witnessed, we do that. We consult, we over-consult on everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, we go to the sites before we, you know, we think of a corporate initiative. You know, the first bit of groundwork that has to be done is we have to go to the sites and say, what are you doing in this space already?
Yeah.
And what do you need from us to help improve
that? Teach us.
And then usually what comes from that tells us what we need to do from the global perspective initiative to add value to the assets. So it's very much that bottom up, ends up with a core design, and then the service we deliver to the sites is a service they want. It's a service they've crafted. So it isn't complicated. No. It just takes a commitment to do that. It does take, I think, you have to be comfortable with letting go of control.
Mm.
You know, because I think if you can, I don't like it, my role. It's like an advisor role. Mm-hmm. I don't have any authority, so it means I have to work really hard to have influence.
Yeah,
and for me, like, influence is a far stronger form of authority than, absolutely, you know, straight authority.
Of course,
on an organization chart. You know, if you know I'm doing my job well, it's because, you know, people will listen to me and engage with me, and hopefully I can influence them in a direction that I believe, you know, is the best way, but that vision has to be crafted by them.
Yeah. That's powerful. You know, let's be realistic. It's far easier to just do stuff down to, right? It truly is. It is easier. We can craft something far, far away.
It's quicker.
It's quicker.
Cheaper.
It's cheaper sometimes. I would argue that it's probably not cheaper in the short term. Yeah, exactly. You read my mind.
Cost of value.
In the short term. But it's when I hear that, that's so much of the shift that I hear. It is so powerful. You know, it's that from doing stuff to eventually we evolve to doing stuff for. But it's when we come together and do things that we really find that moment of okay. Yeah. To that point, when you have that thing that's co-created with your sites, because you've started from this teach us moment rather than a let me tell you kind of moment, or even going back to a bit of our conversation on standardization, instead of saying, well, we've kind of pulled this together and this is how we're going to do it overall, you just end up with such a better end product. There's ownership already built into it. People want to do it because it's theirs, right? And just that thing of we're doing this together, that just as a person, that gives me that, yeah, it's team. We're doing this together. Our community, we're doing this together. And we all have a piece of voice in what that looks like in shaping that. That's just a powerful, transformative moment for an organization. And in any organization, any folks out there listening, that's a really important place to focus on. You mentioned over consulting with people. I don't know that you can, right? I really don't know. I don't know that you can. Sometimes it feels like we do. Sometimes maybe once we get to it and things start to get really repetitive, maybe we can go, okay, we've probably got all the information we need in this particular subject area. But it might feel like a bit of over consulting to us as we're trying to learn more and more and more and more and more and inform better what those processes and systems and roadmaps and whatever we're trying to create kind of looks like. But how appreciated that is at a site or at a location, right? Just because that's usually not the norm in many organizations, right? We usually wait for the memo, right? The edict to come down, and then here's our marching orders. This is the direction we're going today. So, you know, you can feel that I think that lends to some of this, just knowing that commitment's there, because it's a demonstration of that commitment that we've been talking so much about.
Yeah. I've experienced in other organizations, the opposite side of that is, you know, if you don't do that, then you end up with a shanty town of solutions and ideas and concepts that never stick.
Right.
You know, just
you end up flavor of the month, right?
Yeah, flavor of the month, and then, you know, next month they're gone, and you just have this debris.
Yeah.
And that debris usually ends up in bureaucracy, and you know, the debris that's left is usually paperwork.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, you have this huge amount of clutter that builds up and makes it difficult. So, you know, that leads into one of the, our guiding principles is make it easier to work safely.
Yeah.
And it's a fundamental acid test for us. So, like, from a global, it's not just us, but if we as a group think, you know, we want to take this to the site, the first question we have is, will it make it easier for them to work safely?
End user experience.
Or more difficult, Will it make it easier for them to be successful, more productive, more efficient? You can add all of those things.
Absolutely,
And if the answer is no, go back to the drawing board. Right. Stop, go back to the drawing board and rethink. If it's yes, great, take it, you know, the business case, demonstrate value. And if you can't do that, then you shouldn't even be going trying to take it.
It's a great starting point. Yeah. And then even before you even get to that point of tri-storming or micro-experimenting or testing or soliciting feedback, you're starting, in my opinion, this is my humble opinion, I think you're starting with the right question. Right? I think that's about the best place I think you can start with most of those things. Because especially as it moves down to kind of that action level in our organizations, the real question really becomes for me as a leader or as a frontline employee is, does this make my life easier or harder? Mm-hmm. Right? And of course, like, if it's easier to be safe, it makes my life a bit easier. That's powerful for me as an end user. So this idea of building in end user experience right out of the gate is powerful. So I'm going to ask you this because it can't have been all sunshine and rainbows. So I'm going to ask you a question about stumbling points or places where you maybe didn't see it as you were starting to plot some of that future state, this kind of journey, where maybe you had to build a ladder to get over a wall or crawl under some razor wire through a ditch, right, where we have to zig and zag, as we have on all of our journeys. I try to share that as best as I can, that, you know, it's hop and these ideas, it's not a program to roll out. It's not something that we can just go do and just make happen overnight. And with any journey comes, you know, detours and getting lost and taking a few steps in the wrong direction before we find the right direction. And I share it in a bit of a more extreme example that I usually say that we usually get it so wrong that we figure out how to get it right, right? Yeah. Which is just my hillbilly way of saying that we learn through failure, right? Yeah. We get our way there. So if there are any of those areas that stand out to you, what would some of those be where you had to maybe check and adjust or kind of zig or zag?
Yeah, impatience.
Yeah.
So we talk about how it takes a long time if you want to make something sustainable. Mm. So I think if I look back at maybe some things I would probably do a little bit different.
Yeah.
Was it in some cases not meeting people where they're at? You know, maybe he's assuming that some of our sites were a little bit more advanced.
Yeah.
Than they were. Mm. So, and then we sort of quickly realize that, you know, not everybody is at the same place. So in some cases, we have to go back a little bit to meet people where they're at. And, you know, I believe a lot in sort of the sort of the new view progressive, sure. But I'm very much like a blended approach.
Same.
I think you should use whatever works for where your people are at, because some people are different phases on that evolution of safety.
Yeah.
And without going and in some cases, you know, getting the battle scars and understanding what good doesn't look like, sometimes it's not easy, you know, sweet and sour, not to really, you don't really understand the sweet unless you've tasted the sour.
Yeah.
So there's a little bit of that as well. And I think early on, we probably misjudged where one or two of our sites were, and also sometimes the strength of how far dug in some of the subcultures were.
Yeah.
But we very quickly, it was for us, the way to correct that was because we were face to face, because we focused on the relationships, the trust that we could go and have open discussion, say, look, you know, why isn't this landing? Why is there not the response we're getting?
Curiosity.
Yes, yeah. Curiosity. And they would then tell us openly and say, well, because, you know, we don't think this will work for us. And you're asking us to do this. We haven't, you know, you're asking us to get to, XYZ, we're still at ABCD, you know, some of our employees, and okay, good, we appreciate that. Let's go back, let's rethink, what are we doing wrong? What do we need to do right? And then just changing the tactics, not the overarching strategy, you know, the blueprint, but just the tactics, we tweaked them, and then very quickly sort of got some of those things on track. So I know we're very fortunate because we haven't on this journey, and I say yet, had any real major roadblocks.
Yeah.
Which means we're blessed. Very. I understand that.
Very.
And again, a lot of that is because of the leadership we have.
And I will say groundwork. A lot of that's because of the groundwork.
Yeah, the groundwork. We have good. We have good people.
If people out there aren't getting this, lay the groundwork. Lay the groundwork.
Yeah, lay the groundwork. Yeah. Take your time. You know, build the foundations. Well, what did they say? Sweating the planning to avoid bleeding in the execution.
Yeah.
So take your time to really build those foundations.
And tying that into what you just said, being willing to tweak and adjust, and you've put all that time into understanding, you know, from a site and operational perspective, which has informed your blueprint. So you have a sound blueprint, but then when you do encounter those places where it's just kind of not lining up right, being willing to go pause and let's understand this. Let's be curious and understand this. And tweak and adjust and zig and zag where we need to. We're still, again, we're going to detour sometimes. We're going to push some stuff out and pull some stuff in, but we're still moving down that path. So without too many stumbling blocks or roadblocks, I'll ask you a little bit more of a vague question. Anything in your journey so far here at Kinross that surprised you? That's just absolute, kind of caught you off guard in a positive or maybe a not so positive way. Anything that surprised you with your journey?
That's a great question. Although I believed it would happen, just how quickly and how deeply and strongly the employees have embraced it,
yeah,
as you're witnessing now,
yeah,
even that's caught me a little bit by surprise.
It's caught me off.
Yeah, I'm sort of thinking, okay, you know, and I'm always expecting to screw up.
Yeah,
you know, I don't think we cannot have got it this right.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So I'm always waiting for what's the catch here? You know, where's the trapdoor? And there will be bumps again, as we say on the road. But yeah, how much he embraced it, even caught me off guard. But then again, it reinforced to me that it is the right way to do it. It's the right approach we're taking. And yeah, that was it. Other than that, a lot of the things that, you know, I thought, you know, I expected about, because I have a lot of faith in the teams we got, a lot of faith in the people. I've spent 6.5 years at Kinross. I know we have good people. And you know, I know, you know, people would say to me, what's great about Kinross? And I used to say, we have no a-holes. And a very simple way to explain it, and believe me, in a lot of organizations, mm-hmm. they have their fair share. Kinross, every time you engage with somebody, they're genuinely trying to help, help you be successful, and often will go out the way to help you. And that's, for me, is a great organization.
Yeah.
It's people have that culture. It's why I stay. Yeah. I stay for the people.
Yeah, that's it. So I've got a couple more questions, and then we'll call it, because I don't want to keep you too long. We've been going 45 minutes now. We've been going for a minute. That's pretty good, huh?
Yeah.
Flies by. What's next? So from where we're at today, we were talking blueprint. What's next? Where do you see the journey going over the next year, 2 years, kind of in that range?
I need to go and ask the sites.
Right, there you go. That's the right answer. I love it.
Where do they want to go? Where do they want to go?
That answer says it all. Answer says why you're where you're at right now.
We'll facilitate that journey. You know, we have a, you know, it was a 2 to 3 year window of really spending a whole year building, you know, moving from in certain parts of business where it's transactional.
Right.
To become more relationship based and principle based, which is why our guiding principles are so important.
Yeah.
Because often, in most industries that are, you know, it's results driven, mm-hmm. and often it's short term results focus. So when decisions are made, often it's on those short term business results, because it's a very aggressive industry. The market pressures, all of those things. But moving towards ensuring that when we're making key decisions, we're keeping those principles at the center of that, and we're keeping the health, safety, and well-being of our people considered in those decisions. Now, it's not, I don't advocate for safety first, it just has to be incorporated as part of how we do business. So it's business as usual, not unusual business.
And that's it, because as you said, you know, that focus on better beliefs and assumptions that have then built your principles, rather than the way we kind of sometimes do that in organizations, try to do that the other way around, which never works very well for us, right? You have these guiding principles, and helping those to be your model to inform decisions that you make in your organization. It helps those decisions not to be, as you're kind of laying that out in this kind of short-term frame, it allows us for those decisions not only take care of us today, but 5 years from now, 6 years from now, that long-term value, as we were kind of talking about. So last question, and it's kind of my famous question, and I don't know how I got here. I just blurted it out one day and it's kind of stuck. So everybody kind of looks for this question, and it sounds a bit, you know, dark when I say it this way, but any last words, any final, what are your final words? And the intent behind this question is, anything that you would just want to share with people out there, that one thing, that one something that, from your perspective, vital, important pro tip, if you will, anything that you would just want to share with folks out there that might be listening.
The butterfly moment is worth the pain. Getting there.
There you go. Thanks for listening, everybody. We greatly appreciate all of your support of the Hot Nerd Podcast, the Hot Nerd LLC.
If you need a little bit of help of bringing human and organizational performance to life, if you would like to take your efforts around learning and improving to the next level, yep, I can help with that. Head over to www.thehopnerd.com or send me an email, thehopnerd@gmail.com. Until next time, bye, everybody. Bye.